The Magi went to great lengths to seek the newborn king of the Jews and to do him homage. They risked so much and they gave Jesus their very best. Truly gifts fit for a king. They were bold on their quest and found so much more than they ever could have imagined when they encountered the child Jesus. He enriched them with so much more than they gave, committed, and sacrificed to him. After their encounter with Jesus, we hear, they departed for their country by another way. Archbishop Fulton Sheen said that this is because no one comes to Christ and goes back the same way that they came. Their lives were completely changed. The ancestors of our parish traveled great lengths to come to this country. They expressed their deep commitment to Jesus and in our church, sacrificing so much and giving their very best to found our St. John's family. Our roots go back to 1844, and for 175 years, our church family has changed lives and made Jesus known. And while our facilities and faces have changed over time, one thing remains the same: our commitment to Christ, to one another in our community. Here at St. John's, we're blessed with many lay leaders and volunteers who provide many ways for us to grow as disciples through our church. Yet despite our accomplishments and our strong history of activity, some challenges still remain for us as a family. In 1895, our church was completed, this current church was completed for $24,000, thanks to the great commitment and sacrifices of so many of the St. John's family that went before us, giving their very best. Our church was dedicated in 1896, and of course, we would continue to be blessed by this beautiful church. The sanctuary was renovated in 1954, 1982, and of course, in 2000. And throughout the years, we've given our best to maintain our church the best that we could. And of course, what a blessing the Parish Life Center has been for us since 2000. Yet now it's time for us to restore the rest of our stained glass windows, renovate our basement, kitchen, and restrooms, replace our front steps, and redo our parking lot. Just take a few moments to look at our beautiful, so beautiful stained glass windows. Yes, please take a look. Look around. I know it's harder to see. It's a little bit dark, but look at what a treasure we have. And how blessed are we by these windows and by the parishioners who sacrificed 125 years ago, giving their best to make them a reality. Well-built stained glass windows usually last 100 years. And by some minor fixes, we've extended their lives, but now it's time to redo the rest of them because we risk them deteriorating even more, and perhaps the repairs becoming even more expensive, or perhaps even risking the windows themselves. So as a parish family, we need to work together to give our best to restore and preserve these windows for the next 125 years. Renovating our church basement. In 1954, with the help from many of our parish family, we completed our basement. It's hosted many of the church's large activities, from funeral dinners, coffee and donuts, men's and women's and yes retreats, vacation Bible school, second hour classes, Alpha, Boy Scouts, and more. Now we need to update this facility to make it a better multi-use environment for learnings, meetings, and various other activities, as well as fellowship. Who's been down the basement recently? Could you raise your hand if you have? So a good number of people, but while functional, I guess it's fair to say it's not exactly something for us to show off. When I was first assigned here to St. John's in April of 2015, and before I served here in July, I came and I visited, and I was surprised first when I got here. I'd never been to St. John's before, that wow, there's a factory right across the street. But then I came in the church and I was like, wow, what a beautiful blessing. What a beautiful church. Then I went down to the basement and I thought, oh, not so impressive. To me, it kind of seems institutional, or maybe kind of like a break room that our neighbors across the street might have in their factory. Minus our blue clouds and our sky, of course, our clouds and our blue sky, of course. I can remember in my own family's home how much how much more the basement felt like home after my parents renovated it. It was a place we pretty much only went to maybe when there was a tornado or a storm watch, but since it was finished, there's so many special family memories that we have since that time. Of course, we had flooding in the basement in the past, but thankfully this has been stopped. Yet there's damage to walls and kitchen cabinets, and also we have visible electrical lines due to that damage. And of course, there's no air conditioning, and our heat isn't exactly that efficient. The basement is a space that people just usually don't want to use unless they have to, similar to my parents' previously unfinished basement. And giving our best, we can make the basement so much more warm and welcoming and help better reflect our commitment to Jesus in our church. Our kitchen is functional but lacking. We have a hodgepodge of old purchased and donated appliances. And we're in need of an exhaust hood and fans as well as more adequate food prep space. Our basement restrooms need updating. Very little has been done to them since the 1950s, and it seems like those are the restrooms that people, of course, tend to avoid. Who comes up the front steps usually? If you could raise your hands. I think it's getting pretty obvious they need to be replaced. They don't make a good impression due to the peeling, the popping, the cracking, and of course they're becoming more and more unsafe. It's also difficult for us to find help to remove snow. We want to add heat to the front steps and the landing so that we won't need to have snow removal or use any salt to preserve them better. Our church parking lot needs to be repaved and restriped to make it more presentable and more safe. I think it resembles a parking lot of a rundown business. So, to address all these needs, we have an exciting plan. Of course, restoring our stained glass windows, renovating our basement into a multi-use fellowship hall and meeting center with an updated kitchen and restrooms. Replacing and heating the front steps of the church and repaving and restriping our parking lot. The rest of our stained glass windows will be removed and restored just as beautifully as our Annunciation window and the window in the front. Completely taken apart, re-leaded, re-cemented, cleaned to be able to look so beautiful just like these here so that they can let God's light shine in them for the next 125 years. In renovating the basement, our committee and others, we consider just doing minimal infrastructural things like repairing the walls, removing mold if it's there, having new floors and electrical wiring. Of course, we could do only that, but still we'd be left with an unattractive space that people wouldn't want to use. Quick story. Once over the past year or so, there's a woman who had gone here to church. I had been a part of St. John. She had gone to the school in the 1960s. She was married in the 70s, and she had been away since that time. And Bonnie was around, and she saw her wandering around, and asked if she could help her. She said, "Well, I've been gone since my marriage in the 70s, and I just wanted to look around." And she really enjoyed the church. Bonnie took her down to the basement, and she said, "Oh, it's just like I remember it, like nothing has changed." So with input from our committee, our expert architects, and others, we decided, of course, yes, to completely renovate our church basement to make it more beautiful, warm, and a welcoming area to better serve our parish family. Walls, ceilings, lights, and floors will be removed to address damaged areas. Mold and asbestos, of course, will be removed if found. New walls, ceiling, efficient lighting, and flooring will be installed with an updated scheme and decor. A new partition that's actually effective will be added so we can have greater flexibility of use into two rooms in the basement. And a permanent buffet-style service station will be added to the west side, this back side of the basement, to better serve our meals and luncheons. We'll remove our current stage and make that storage space, and we'll flip a new retractable stage to the other side. We'll flip the room. We'll have a new HVAC system, so that we can actually cool the basement without just blowing cool air over from the Parish Life Center to make it truly feel more like a home. We'll have multiple screens for videos installed on three different walls and a and also a state-of-the-art video and sound system to help with learning and participation. Our kitchen. We'll plan to re-enlarge and reconfigure our kitchen to meet all current codes and make it much more easier and efficient to use with a better layout, multiple food prep tables, sinks, and appliances. The restrooms, those back restrooms, will be renovated with new plumbing, finishes, and fixtures. Again, with the front steps, those will be removed, completely replaced with that heating element so we no longer need to have use salt or have anyone clear them off so that we can truly have a beautiful front to our church. And for our parking lot, we'll install a new parking lot, of course, that will be safer and more attractive. We'll continue to address the drainage issues that weren't resolved with previous repairs. We'll replace the first 2 inches of the lot and leave the playground for our children to enjoy as usual. So to address our needs and plans, we're beginning an intensive fundraising effort called 125 Years, Reflection on Our Past, Foundation for Our Future. With this effort, we're going to raise the funds required to address our restoration and renovation needs before the church building's 125th anniversary, which is a little bit later in this year. Of course, now we're in 2020. Our $1.5 million minimum goal will enable us to complete our project, yet with some debt remaining. A $1.7 million challenge goal has been set, which if we meet this goal, will complete the entire project with no remaining debt. Of course, to meet our goal, we'll need both a large number of people giving and a few fairly large or substantial gifts. And as a parish family, we're called, we need each other's help, and each of us are called to do our best. Of course, all parishioners are invited to consider gifts to our campaign above and beyond our regular offertory contributions to keep the regular operations of the church and our programs going. Pledges can be made over 3 years, and of course, that's what's more realistic for us to make it all happen. And gifts can be given in different time periods. Non-cash gifts are another option. Stocks, bonds, real estate such as land, homes, vacation, rental properties, or personal property, artwork, automobiles, jewelry, and antiques. And deferred gifts through bequests, life insurance policies, or annuities, and trust arrangements. There also will be a special number of giving opportunities available to donors in case they want to dedicate a certain part of the project to the memory of a loved one. Our campaign will officially commence with a special campaign kickoff celebration in our church basement on Sunday, January 19th, so 2 weeks from tomorrow, at 4 p.m. All parishioners are cordially invited. There'll be food from Rusty Taco, I highly recommend. And the campaign will culminate on Saturday and Sunday, February 15th and 16th, with our parish family's commitment weekend. And campaign volunteers will be visiting with parishioners after masses in their homes or by phone to explain our efforts and answer questions and invite your financial participation. So, in preparation for this effort, I'm asking for your help in three important ways. And the first one is obvious, of course, and that's prayer. Please pray regularly for our campaign success. We can only succeed at anything with God's help, so please pray. Second, prayerfully consider volunteering for our campaign. A family, of course, gets things done by coming together and everyone stepping up, and we need your help to step up. Over 80 individuals and ideally couples are needed to help in various ways to help it run more smoothly, efficiently, and to make that volunteering enjoyable. So we need your help. And I'm happy to share that Steve and Kelly Grube and Dave and Sandy Deal have graciously agreed to serve as our chairpersons for the campaign. In addition, we have a great team behind them. Dave Jimenez leads our prayer committee. Vicki Leeswin is our hospitality committee leader. Pam Lytle is leading our youth and children's gifts. Tim McDonough leads our communications committee. And Jason Burnell is leading our creative gifts committee. Please join in thanking me when we see them. They're all, of course, very busy people, but they're all giving their best. And then please follow their lead. Toward that end, you'll find volunteer willingness cards at the ends of the pews, and I'll ask you in a few moments to complete them and turn them in if you're willing to volunteer in any way to help us out. Then afterwards, we'll take up a special collection of these cards immediately following my remarks. And of course, finally, you'll be asked, eventually you'll be asked to support our campaign financially as well in giving your best. We're only asked to equal sacrifice, not necessarily equal gifts on the ways that we are able. And those three-year pledges will help us to meet this goal. And when you are asked and you hopefully give, remember the gifts can be made in those multiple ways. Once again, we ask that these gifts to the campaign, of course, are beyond those gifts that we so count on just for our normal activities in the parish. We know that the Magi gave their best, and our parish family ancestors gave their best, and our parish family has been enriched in so many ways by Christ's blessings through them. We're now invited to give our best and trust that Christ will bless, enrich, and renew us through our efforts in his grace. Through the prayerful volunteer and financial support of many, the extraordinary support of a few, I'm quite confident we'll succeed and do our best for those who will come after us. So at this time, I ask you to pass those cards, if you haven't started to, all to the center. And of course, not only will filling out these cards let us know that you're willing to help, it'll also help rally and encourage others to help join us in this effort. So after I give everyone some time, I'll ask the ushers in a little while to collect them. So thank you very much, and God bless you in advance for all your help and support.